Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon, or Mutilus on Discord.
This is Parker, go by One Who Parks on Discord.
Yeah, this is Aaron, I go by Treffenwood on Discord.
And welcome back to another riveting episode of Infamous. Quick announcements. Battle reports are flooding back to the YouTube channel, so if you're at all interested in seeing Judgment or Marvel Crisis Protocol or Blood Bowl battle reports, please go to our YouTube channel. It is Infamous Podcast Network on YouTube. There should be a battle report every day at 5 p.m. posted to the channel for the foreseeable future, probably months down the road before we run out of content. So go check it out. As always, links in the show notes. Also, I'm needing some more RAM, and so if anybody can email me some more RAM, I'd really appreciate it. I'm running out. News. Do we have any news, Parker?
No news that I can see.
No news.
Do you count the product releases as news? Like, they put some product stuff up on their page, but we don't know what's in them. But.
Oh, you mean like the Mojo Ball
stuff? Yeah, like Mojo Ball. They put up the Shang-Chi and Silver Sable.
Stuff we already knew about.
Yeah.
Okay. So no news. All right. I guess we'll just move right into our main topic. Aaron, you wanted to talk about squad goals.
Yeah, let's talk about squad goals.
Let's talk about the squad goals. Can we talk about squad goals? I've been dying to talk about squad goals.
Okay.
Parker gets it.
I'm with you.
Aaron's in the dark over here.
I'm in the dark. Mm-hmm. That's my life in a nutshell, though.
Mm-hmm. Chicka chicka bow bow.
Day bow bow. Aaron is completely lost. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? We're quoting Always Sunny.
So fucking immature.
It's so great. You should watch it.
I watched one episode.
Aaron's afraid to watch it because he knows he would get addicted, and then he would yearn for it in its absence. Mm-hmm. All right, squad goals. Let's do it. So am I supposed to look at the numbers?
No, you don't look at the numbers. Okay, I look at the numbers.
We're going to go through the numbers, the figures, separately. Aaron's already looked at them. All right, so how do you want to run this, Aaron?
I will ask questions, and you guys will respond.
Okay.
That's how we're going to do it. It's going to be extemporaneous. I have no pre-planning.
You can't make words up.
Yeah. I can't? Oh, well, shit. This is going to go. It's going to be a really bad episode then. Okay. 66 total players, 22 teams, 3 players per team. Teams could not have duplicate heroes, but they could have duplicate affiliations.
What about duplicate villains?
They could have villains, duplicate villains too, yes.
Okay, cool. Good.
No duplicate villains.
Okay.
But you could have 2 players playing Cabal just with different risk goals.
Gotcha. All right. Okay. What about 4 secures? Is that allowed?
I heard today it was not allowed.
Ooh, yikes. So if you submitted a list with 4 secures, Jeremy, you're going to have to change that as soon as possible.
I think that is the biggest donkey brains we've ever talked about, is somebody submitting.
We're going to talk about
somebody that. Indeed has donkey brains for...
My team is a shit show, honestly. We've got 2 players with ASM and 1 player playing 4 secures. I don't even know what's going on.
I think you guys are automatically submarining, because the first round is going to go bad for you as soon as somebody...
All 3 of us playing Black Panther. I don't think he's got it.
Losing all 3 games is not the same as submarining, Parker. I don't know if you know that or not. That's just called being shit. Okay, so there is 1 affiliation that was taken above all others. Which was taken the most, Parker?
I abstain.
Which affiliation? Because you said people could take the same, different leaders, but same affiliation. Yeah,
cannot duplicate characters. But other than that, 3 lists. What was the most popular affiliation taken? Like you said, theoretically, all 3 players could have played Avengers.
Right. So I want to say that maybe something like Avengers or Cabal could get more for that. But I have a feeling things like...
I'll just tell you right now, no one, I don't think, took the same affiliation twice in their
team. Nobody duped.
Because that would be fucking stupid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be stupid, but I don't know that it'd be
number
optimal.
One to show up. You know what? I'm just going to go with a meta choice and say people are riding the train and say Web Warriors. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. You are correct. Good job, Parker. Okay. Web Warriors broken as fuck. People choose to play at a sweaty event. Ding, yeah. Ding, ding.
I'm glad that people are finally playing Web Warriors in the U.S. It's really nice.
Yes. There were four unused affiliations. What are the four affiliations that people chose not to bring?
Oh.
Brandon.
Winter Guard.
You are correct with one. Parker.
Ooh. Weapon X.
You are not correct.
Boom roasted.
Okay.
Back to Brandon.
Convocation?
No. There are two combos.
Damn.
Parker.
Dark Dimension?
Dark Dimension, correct. We're tied 1-1.
That's not fair. That's not an affiliation.
It is.
Over to Brandon. There are two left.
A-Force?
Correct. Parker.
That surprises me.
Get wrecked, Parker.
Wow. That makes me want to play A-Force all the time.
The last unused affiliation. Can you name it?
Oh, wait. You're not playing Sentinels. So I'm going to go with Sentinels.
You are correct.
Yeah.
It is Sentinels as the last
softball.
One. If I was part of the Funsies team, I would have 100% been playing Sentinels. But yeah.
I'm just going to point out, Parker picked Sentinels and Dark Dimension, and I got the two hard ones.
Parker also got one wrong, so yes.
I got one wrong.
Did
you? Okay.
I was going to say, I was there, Aaron, when we conceived of your list, so but I had to think about that. I was like, yeah. He's playing Sentinels. Wait, no, he's not.
Honestly, I thought he would convince somebody else to play them. Yeah. Like, he earworms people pretty hard, just gets them to do whatever.
I do. I am highly suggestive. Okay, so Web Warriors are the highest. A-Force, Dark Dimension, Winter Guard, and Sentinels don't make the cut.
A-Force, that really blows my mind. Okay.
I was surprised by that as well, given that there is a wide breadth of characters that you could make two other teams not stealing too much from A-Force. Mm-hmm. I guess people just felt it wasn't going to be good enough.
I don't agree with that, because I think the best version of A-Force has a lot of the key models in it. Mm-hmm. I think you basically have to have Cat to really make that list work.
Sure. I think you could have taken Cat in A-Force if you mm-hmm. weren't going to play Webs or Criminals.
Or Hellfire.
And
guess how many Hellfire players there were. So hold on, there were 9 Webs. Out of 22 teams, 9 of them were playing Webs, which meant 13 teams just decided they didn't want to win the event.
I'm just going to say that I already looked at this, so I'm just going to let Parker guess.
Sure. Okay, Parker. So Webs and Hellfire and Wakanda, kind of the three biggest bads, if you will. Webs were number 1. Hellfire was number 3. Sorry, Wakanda was number 3 with 6 teams. How many teams had a Hellfire?
8.
You are too high by 7.
What?
Yeah. One team is playing Hellfire. That's it.
What?
It's because of the character sharing. The list is all good characters plus Emma. So yeah. She completely wrecks like 4 other affiliations.
Because you don't want to stack all of your synergy pieces.
It's like,
one
look, you took Logan and Cat and Rhino. Okay, what am I going to fucking play?
Yeah, I see it.
I still think that's interesting, because even if you did make 2 affiliations, whatever they wanted, there's enough random good stuff left over to make a really good list, even if it's not the prototypical
So Hellfire. I don't know that you're wrong, but I think the issue is not if you're correct or not. It is, do people agree with you mentally? And so I think the reaction is, oh, well, they look at the Hellfire list and go, you literally took like 8 of the 10 best characters. What am I supposed to do? And even if they're wrong in that assumption, I think that reaction is going to cause people to not do it.
Yep. And I didn't really want to so Hellfire is on my short list, but I didn't want to get reps at a weird Hellfire list just for squad goals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having too much fun playing big robots. So that's why I opted not to make a janky, non-standard Hellfire list, even though I think it could be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah.
So what you said Wakanda was 6?
Third. Wakanda had
third total, yeah.
Six third players. Total. Third total, yep.
Oh, so who was number two, I wonder?
Hmm.
Maybe you should guess.
Yeah, now you got me interested.
Give me a hint. Pulls it, up is, the list. It is an attrition team.
That's misleading. Why are you misleading him like that?
Pretty sure it's not a mislead.
I mean, maybe the way you play them. Everybody else plays them pretty mix.
I'm going to go ahead. Now, see. I always want to do the Dark Horse because I love the Dark Horse. But, you know, I'm going to go with the Dark Horse this time. I went with the Web Warriors because that made sense. I'm going to go with X-Men because people are wanting to play the new characters.
You are incorrect.
Okay.
Not even close, baby.
Okay.
You're close. It was a
not that close.
It was a strong choice for timelines.
Oh, people wanted to play. Oh, Brotherhood. No, Brotherhood.
Brotherhood's fifth on the list.
Oh, I was like that was a strong
tied
choice
for third. For tied for third, actually.
I was like that's a strong choice for timelines. A lot of people have Brotherhood.
What else did you see a lot of in timelines?
Defenders.
No.
You know, yes. Let me see. I saw a lot of Web Warriors. I saw a lot of Brotherhood. Saw a lot of X-Force.
Yep.
X-Force.
X-Force comes in number two with eight people choosing them.
Okay.
I'm
a
not
a bunch of losers.
I don't know about that. X-Force scared the shit out of me anytime I play against them, right? All they
I'm
need
playing
is
X-Force. That was the joke.
Ha ha ha. Got it.
Got him.
Yeah. Then yes, bunch of losers.
Quick, I'll change my list. It'll mess with the numbers.
Criminals only being taken three times is a little interesting to me.
I do think that's interesting because obviously like there's the key models like Cat, Bullseye, Rhino are pretty heavily used throughout the game in a lot of factions. And you can make, you know, some concessions to make the list fit together. But the fact that nobody seemed to worry about playing webs, but everyone seemed to avoid Hellfire and Criminals is an interesting, like, litmus test for the community, I think. So either those people thought that webs had the fewest conflicts of the big three, or they just thought they were the strongest of the three. I don't know which.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, if we look at the actual teams that are going there, of the 22 teams, I'm going to say about six have a chance of winning it all.
Whoa. Aaron's just lighting fires over here.
I'll call like I see it. There's a lot of people that are coming who are just going to come to play in a big team tournament and have a good time.
Team events are fun.
Not that, you know, the other 16 teams are bad, but I could probably pick out, you know, teams that I think would actually be able to go 5-0. So that comment is driven by I think people, for the most part, are also going to play what they just want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're not a super try-hard team, you could just be like, well, we're just going to go and we're going to play what we're comfortable with, what we're familiar with. And so this affiliation breakdown doesn't necessarily represent what is quote-unquote best in the meta, but could also represent I just like playing Thor's affiliation, Asgard, right? I don't think Asgard's the best, but I enjoy it. I have fun. I'm experienced with it. I'm going to play Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to pick one of the affiliations, like Weapon X. Someone's playing Weapon X. Do I think that they're remotely in the consideration for one of the top three teams you should be playing? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to throw shade on the person playing Weapon X at all just because they want to play Weapon X. That's great. So anyway, that was just a big caveat to say that, you know, just like any tournament does not represent necessarily the community consensus on what's actually good, right?
Especially in a restricted format like this. Yeah.
It's definitely a snippet, right? There is some influence into that. Some people are going to try to win. Some people are just going to play fun.
When it comes to numbers like this, the interesting part is always seeing why or trying to decide why we think people made this decision. And so it's not that webs are, you know, one fourth of the meta or whatever. It's more like, why did people think they should bring webs to this format?
I was going to say, well, I know one of the reasons that contributes to A4's lack of showing up, and I don't think it's actually the models. I think it's the webs. I think there are some affiliations that feel really, really good into A-Force, and spread out scenario teams are the ones that can just completely walk over them. I say can because if they get the wrong scenario set up, it's harder for them for sure. But Webs has completely dismantled me playing A-Force because I didn't have a chance with the number of scenario things. I needed to spread out, and that's not what they do. I need to be mobile, and that's not what they do. So unless you purposely build your A-Force to be as mobile as A-Force can be, but again, still, you should be probably just doing something else if you're trying to be really mobile, right? So I think that's one of the things that drives people away from things like A-Force. I know it is for me right now. I'm not playing it because I go, if I bring this to a tournament, there's a chance I lose three games because I play three scenario teams and I don't get to do it.
Aaron, do you have any more teasers for us?
I don't think so.
Do you want to get into characters taken or anything?
So because people are bad at providing content creators with data, only 38 of the 66 lists have the correct MCT codes in them. So that's kind of useless.
Okay.
I will say I have largely avoided the list, which right now I think is Thanos in Red Skull, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think that's like the list?
It is. It is the list. Like you could argue Web Warriors are just bad in affiliation, but it's whatever. The boogie list, if there is one, is Thanos Red Skull. And I have completely avoided playing it. I have no desire to play into it, but there will be a significant number of Thanoses at the event, and that's going to be a little demoralizing, personally.
That's interesting. So is this why everybody was not okay with our Jean Grey take and why Jean Grey is getting more traction is because Thanos is on the rise?
I don't know. I agree.
I would say no, because like the way they're using Thanos and that is not really to use him as a board controller. Like, obviously he has that tool, but it sounds like they're really using him for murder. Like, I'm looking at the breakdown right now. There's four Cabal players, and according to the encoding, there's six Thanoses, which probably means there'll be more than that.
If you refresh, there are nine Thanoses.
Oh, really? Did they update that many already?
Well, it is the sixth most taken. Just look on the right side. You'll see.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And that's of the MCT coded list. So there will be more than nine Thanoses there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee, I'm going to go look right now. I was going to say, I guarantee every single Cabal player. Let's go take DeLuca's team, right? Probably favorites to place extremely well. He's playing Cabal with dun-dun-dun. Thanos, go figure. Sooner's playing X-Force build.
There's nine Thanoses. There's only four Cabals. Like, it doesn't mean that they didn't code their lists right.
What do you mean?
Like, it could be that everyone who's playing Thanos did code their list correctly is all I'm saying. Like, sure. It's possible that nine is all we're going to see, nine out of 66. It could be more, obviously, also.
You are correct.
But currently, only three of the nine are mind space. And so I would imagine that if you're playing Red Skull 3, the concept is you don't take Reality Stone because you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's five of them are mind space and then one that's just Space Stone.
Yep.
So mind space is the control version and they're playing it with Red Skull to give pseudo Reality Stone.
Yes.
So this is why people are excited by Jean Grey right now, because regardless of where you put her, she can shut that down first turn. And with a few affiliations, she can shut two things down, Mind Stone and Portal. Interesting.
Huh. As long as Jean Grey doesn't just die.
But she doesn't just die first turn. That's the point.
Not first turn.
So
and
we'll
she won't
see.
She won't just die in X-Men. She'll be saved at least twice. Hmm.
So I played into X-Men with Jean Grey in my TTS League game last week, or 2 days ago, with Sentinels. Jean Grey was the first model to leave the table.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, you have a bunch of range 4 blasts and tow cables, so your goal is to get rid of her.
Well, range 3.
Yeah. I've got a
tow. Oh, they're only range 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're only range 4.
I have to tow someone in to kill them, and she can say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you just moved close to her, and she couldn't do enough damage to him, yeah.
Yes. I killed her, and then she... Whatever. I don't need a bat rep. Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not... I still think anyone who takes her is Donkey Brain, because I still think Emma does the same thing. So you lose one thing that Thanos did that turn. You only get one instead of two, but then you have Emma instead of Jean Grey, which I think is just a better call. Or you have Cable, and he's just shooting Thanos, which is probably better. I don't know if it's better, but it feels better. So Thanos with reality...
Go ahead.
Good. The Thanos of the Reality Stone, without Reality Stone, rather, is a lot easier to kill. What's the third model to be threatening? Because if you kill Thanos...
Usually it's Zemo.
Okay, but he's made of paper. I feel like an attrition list like X-Force, for example, with pretty good range options, would fare well against that, even if they just decide to trade blows, right? Thanos is not Cosmic Ghost Rider, so...
I'm not super versed in what people are playing right now, but the lists I've seen previously, it's basically just race cars. It's just every glass cannon you can afford to take plus Thanos. So if you get into a punching match and you can outpunch them, you're fine. But the problem is the list hits harder than you. So it's more about can you stay away from him at the right time.
Tell me about it, Aaron. You're down on it, but I know nothing about it. Could you inform me what makes you feel like it's the best in format?
I wish I could tell you more. I don't. Again, I never played against it. It was, okay. I think, last TTS Finals was Cabal versus Cabal. I haven't watched any bet reps of it.
Interesting.
Wish I could tell you more.
I guess I'll encounter it in round 3 of some tournament I go to and lose to it.
Ditto. We're just going to throw Quentin into Thanos every time. I don't have to worry about that shit.
He likes Thanos. It's his favorite thing to play against.
Yep. Well, if he didn't, he should be team captain next time.
I sense facetiousness here. I sense it. Sorry, I'm just staring at it going, yeah, that's good, right? It sounds good, sure. But Thanos has always been good with a good leader. There are lots of 4-point leaders that make Thanos good. There's a 3-point leader that makes Thanos good too. I
think any list that is going to be built around an optimized Thanos is going to be the list. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Kill Konda, right? Yeah. For whatever reason, people latched on to, I don't know that this list has a nickname, right? Thanos with Red Skull. Mm-hmm. And then that's been some level of degenerate list people play, and they just play that at super low points because it doesn't take up any resources in your list to put Thanos in. And all of a sudden, if you end up playing on 15, you're like, well, I've got a plan for that. Or maybe you're even putting a 15 in your list because it's a really good fucking plan. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it could have been with Wakanda. It could have been Thanos in pick your affiliation. He is so good at those low points where he's able to, in this version with Mind Space, double displace and provide dice for killing people and kill himself, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's not the Red Skull. There's obvious synergies there with Red Skull using Thanos' power and porting Thanos up. But it's not Red Skull that's breaking this, right? It's just Thanos existing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's a cool idea. I have something very similar, actually, come to my mind. What I'm going to play next time I get to play is a similar concept. Just like, ooh, if I'm going to play 15 points, I'll play these three models, and I think it's really good. It wasn't that, but yeah, makes sense.
How many teams? So I guess there's four kind of local teams. There's you guys, there's us, there's Muse, and then there's the Outlanders.
Oh, yeah.
How many times in what I'm assuming will be 5 games do you think you'll play against one of the local teams?
Mm.
And why will it be round 1?
If Adepticon is any evidence, I assume that our team will play against at least 2 teams that we play on a regular basis.
Okay. Checks.
Yeah. Adepticon wasn't crazy. It was really just the first 2 rounds was nuts because it was a 60-something player tournament.
And Adepticon?
Yeah, how big was it? It was big. What was that? I can't remember.
No, you're right. It was right at 60. It was 90? No, because it was right at less than 60. It was 62 or something.
No, it was 54 was for the timelines. But the actual Contest of Champions was huge. I think it was close to 90.
Yeah, it was last year. This year was shorter, but let me look at it real quick.
Yeah. But anyway, it was the first 2 rounds Parker played... our local no. Ryan, and then I can't remember who else.
How big was it? It was 94.
Yeah. And so, out of 100 people, I think Parker played 4 people that he plays on a weekly basis.
4?
I mean, he played you. Played me. He played Ryan. I guess he did. One of his opponents was not a local, but it was just somebody we knew. I'm trying to remember.
I played
Mark, how many people did you play that you knew at Adepticon?
Like locals? Ryan,
yeah, like Aaron. People that you play on a regular basis. Ryan, Aaron.
Quentin, right? Did I play Quentin?
Quentin, yeah, you guys played. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just in the Contest of Champions, you played locals.
Did I play Quentin? Shit. How terrible is it? I can't remember if I played Quentin.
I mean, it's been a few months.
Yeah.
And again, you play him sometimes, so.
Yeah. Maybe I... We were, like, hanging out so much.
Yeah, because it was the four of you, and Aaron played Vince.
Yes, I played Quentin, and then I played Aaron after that for the third place. Yeah. So I played Quentin. So
you played three locals in Contest of Champions.
Mm-hmm. Well, we kind of had to, because most of us made top eight.
Right. No, like, and so that's what I was getting to, is that of, like, half of your games were against locals, but two of those games were in the final two rounds. And so there's, like, there's nothing they can do about that.
Yeah.
But, like, it just, it started weird because, like, your first round was against Quentin. Ryan. Your second round was against a guy that I had formerly teamed with at Adepticon. Matt. And then I was like, oh, why do you keep playing everyone I know? Like, play some other people. And you're like, I can't do it. And then the middle rounds were normal. And it was, so it was just, like, it was bookended by playing people that are, like, basically locals. Mm-hmm.
No, I think Ryan was the only one who really got the bad shake at Adepticon because
yeah.
He couldn't even leave MCP and not find locals. Everywhere he went, he played locals. But that you know, that happens when you... I guess when you have a... I mean, oh man, we have a really active community that likes to travel together and have fun together. Well, that's, you know, you're going to also see people, play people.
I'm kind of curious. I'm wondering how many people we're going to get to Warfare this year because... Last year, I want to say we had 8 or something silly. It was a lot of people.
What do you mean?
Because, I mean, it feels like we're getting more and more people to travel to these events.
Oh, that we...
Warfare is just the local one. Like, it's in St. Louis. It's not very far. So it's, like, only 3.5-hour drive. So I'm just curious, like, if we're going to get, like, 12 people this year to go to Warfare.
3.5-hour drive and free lodging? Can't be beat.
Yeah. It's pretty hard. Anyway. So... What was your original question? Why did we get on this tangent?
How many
people we were going to play.
How many people do you think you're going to play yourself?
I haven't even looked at the registration. I guess I should. So, yeah, you said the four local teams.
Which team are you most looking forward to playing?
As I haven't even looked at them.
I know. Well, I'm going to answer it, too.
I'm going to go solely based on team name.
Okay.
Ooh, there's a lot of good team names. That's honestly one of my favorite things about team events is the team names.
Oh,
there's so many good ones.
I want to play Excelsior. Honestly.
Okay.
So I met, I think it was Graham, 2 Adepticons ago. I don't think we've ever played a game. It was either Graham or Ron, and I can't remember who it was. But I would really like to play. I think they're up in Wisconsin. Not sure, but... yeah, that's the team I want to play, just so I can see.
What was the name?
Excelsior.
Okay. There's so many good ones. The Evil League of Evil. That sounds great. Something Awesome is always a good team name. Crip It and Rip It. And then I saw it was DeLuca's team. I was like, ah, dang it.
You can play against
Doomed. Doomed Prophecy is a good one. Dice Daddies. This fucking total loser. Blood of Heroes. What fucking team name is that? Just giant losers. Is Muse still down a person? Did I get it figured out?
Don't know.
Hopefully they don't have to bail. That would suck.
So if a team comes up short, my understanding is that the Chicago team will break themselves up to make the other teams whole as kind of the quote unquote host team,
mm-hmm.
which would suck. But I get it. You know, you don't want to have 3 teams reach down a person.
Yeah, no, that's obviously not great.
Cool. Any other questions for the upcoming squad goals from either of you?
I have a question for you. Because we were... Oh, did you keep Ant-Man in your final list?
Fuck yeah, I did.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure you didn't find a way to replace him because I can't remember how close you were just doing so. How many times did you plan on playing him? Is he in like your core, or is he like a, if I have to play 18 points, then he windmill slams? I was just curious if you had a plan.
I've barely practiced this list, so okay. I don't have a core. I lied. I do have a core. It's Star-Lord, Nebula, and Groot. That's my core. And I am happy to play any number of models alongside them. And which one they are will depend on the scenario and the opponent's team, of course. But if I don't, if I have people that can pick up points and can afford to have someone whose pure goal is offense, then yes, I will windmill slam Ant-Man into that list every time.
Cool. You can also hold blues fairly well. Pretty darn well, actually. But true. You can rotate really well, too.
Yes. No, he is there specifically to hunt webs and rotate and do everything you want other than hold an objective.
Yeah.
Okay. I figure out who I want to play.
Okay.
I want to play Juicy Al's Paint Pals. Okay. They have my favorite combination of affiliations of this assorted group. They've got Convocation, Guardians, and X-Force. They know what they're about. All right, so 22 teams. I get that the coding is off. How many teams? 38 teams are coded?
38 lists are coded, yes.
Yeah, 38 lists are coded. Bullseye, Hulk, and Beta Ray Bill and Zemo are the most popular.
Hulk, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Hulk, yeah. Bruce Banner.
Huh. Surprises me a little.
Followed by Lizard, Thanos, Toad, Rhino, Nebula. But I mean, I would imagine that this is just heavily skewed because like Black Cat not being anywhere near the top is crazy. Here we go. She's got 6 in 38 lists. That's crazy to me. And so the issue being that, like, who knows how many of those teams just like the person Black Cat hasn't put in their list yet, because there's a maximum of 22.
Like, Quentin does not have the correct coded list, but he's playing Black Cat, for instance. Yes.
He's playing Black Cat. So that means that both of his team members, even if they coded correctly, can't have Black Cat. So
Jeremy, same thing.
Yeah, exactly. No, I imagine that's the case, is Web Warrior players have smooth brains, so they can't they can't put in their list fucking right. We have proof of one of those. Fucking Jeremy. There's 4 secures, right? God damn it. God damn it.
Yeah, there's at least 3 more Black Cats, and that's just in the first 9 teams.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see... We might even sit around and tell people while we're there, hey, can we get everybody to update their list to be coded correctly? Because I would like to see the data. Or somebody could just go through and do it manually, but I don't have that time. 34 of the 38 lists have Brace.
Aaron, you got me really thinking about this whole Thanos coming back thing, because one of the things
don't call that, it a comeback.
One of the things that I did not see at Adepticon anywhere, and maybe you guys could argue with me and say, oh, you got to see it on a couple tables.
Both.
But I didn't see Thanos. I didn't see Thanos anywhere. Like, he was almost completely absent from Adepticon, and that blew me away. That the meta had shifted so much away, so far away from him. So I think it's interesting that it's rubber banding back, and it makes sense. Probably the sign of a healthy game that things are revolving and not just sitting on one thing between events.
Pretty cool. All right, how about this? Hypothetically, if you're building a list in a complete vacuum in this format, what are the 3 best affiliations to pair to each other? If your sole goal is to win, you don't care what you're playing, you're trying to optimize the format.
I think Webb's Guardians is a good place to start, I think. Maybe Webb's Guardians X-Force, probably.
What's your splash in Guardians?
Ghost Rider and Thanos, probably. Probably do both.
Okay.
If you're trying to win, I think it's Ghost Rider, Thanos, Splash, X-Force, maybe even X-Force X-Men if you wanted to, but I don't know if you have to. It'd just give you a little bit more balance, and then Web Warriors. I think those 3 would probably give you a really good chance. Like, you'd have a chance all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because X-Force can beat a scenario team. X-Men can go, you know, if for some reason you get a weird matchup, but, you know, X-Men, if you had an X-Men switch, you could try that.
Yeah.
Guardians can play on D's, they can play down the middle, they can play short and tall, and...
Well, yeah, but that's not... I don't know how relevant that is to...
I guess what I'm saying, like, is I think
that's all determined in individual games.
Right, but I mean, I think the solution is 2 balanced lists, and one skew. I like that for a three, if you're doing threes, because you can set up one win and then hope the other two wins. I don't know if you do two skews. I think you do one hard skew and then two lists that are more balanced. I don't mean balanced in terms of power level. I mean balanced in terms of what they can deal with.
Well-rounded.
Yeah.
I don't know how good X-Men are. I know they've been being played a lot lately, but I haven't been paying too much attention.
I think it's X-Force.
X-Men are
great
in this environment because of how like wide of a net they can cast, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Like they can play attrition based, they can play scenario, they can kind of do a little bit of everything. They have like three functional leaders right now.
They have four kind of. If Cable could be a great X-Man and he can just become your X-Force leader.
I understand that you can just play X-Force. I don't feel like you get all of the stuff you want, though. Mm-hmm. But I haven't looked at it that hard. I haven't ever seen a list where X-Force was any more than a emergency pull the lever plan. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know they have a lot of overlap, but I feel like X-Men, especially in the way they exist now, really want to fill out their slots for their options. So if you do an X-Force plan, you're actually giving some stuff up now as opposed to the old days.
I actually think one of my problems with X-Men, and maybe somebody can argue with me, but I feel like X-Men right now are kind of like Steve Avengers, in which you can definitely play a bunch of mutants that can do almost any job, but if you're going up against a more devoted scenario team, Cyclops and Professor X, I don't think Storm's... I mean, maybe she's a viable leader just because he's a three, and that's the only reason, but... If that's your game plan, sure. But I think Cyclops and Professor X are their two selling points, and neither of them help very much against the scenario team, and they are just kind of like Captain America. They are really good at enabling your team at doing stuff, but they're 4 points of kind of dead weight. They're not actively contributing to the win against the scenario team. And the reason why you switch to X-Force is because you go, okay, I am going to burn them down because every point in my list will be devoted to things that could go out and kill you and attack, yeah. Throw.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that in that combination list, the building an X-Force list recently makes me feel like you need at least six character slots to make that list function at all the different point totals. Like at least six, probably more. So how are you fitting the X-Men package in that last like four slots? And so one of the two lists is giving something up, is what I'm saying. Mm. And so I don't know that it makes an ideal combo list anymore. But yes, they have a lot of overlap, so I think you could try it. But one of the two sides is going to suffer, is all I'm saying.
Maybe.
And so you could do, I'm all in on scenario X-Men with an X-Force kicker. I think you could do that. But your X-Men list won't be able to be balanced like we were talking about.
Oh, I agree with you there. I did try to do like an all-in X-Men and with X-Force kicker, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I specifically...
And you could definitely just put Cable in there and have the option. Right. I just don't think it'll be optimized.
What I tried was a Cyclops down the middle list, like a we're going to sit on a ease and researcher and that kind of stuff and feel good about this. And because I don't think X-Force does that exceptionally well. I don't think it does. They do that better than anybody else, but I think Cyclops does do that better.
I like what you did with exceptional.
Yeah, you're picking up what I'm putting down. And then X-Force is specifically my opponent's going wide with a lot of scenario points to score really quick. Cyclops is, you know, sometimes he could do well in some situations, but not every. So I'm going to switch to Cable because I'll have a bunch of super solos that'll go out and have lots of time on target and burn things down. So I think X-Force has... I think if I was trying to win, really, really, like, just trying to win, I think I would do X-Force, maybe X-Men combo with it, Guardians with Thanos Ghost Rider, and Web Warriors. But you could convince me of other lists that are more balanced than those two. But I really like the balance of those two right now.
Cool. I think I would have gone with, just without really putting too much thought into it, I'd obviously take Aaron's favorite list of Thanos with Red Skull 3. And then I didn't think I'd get the finger for that one. That was nice. I'm really killing it today. Obviously Webs. I think Webs are the strongest of the three like scenario teams. But I think you can make a strong argument for any of them. Mostly because they're using most of the same models. And then I would finish it up with probably X-Force or Guardians. You could go either way, but I think I personally like X-Force more. And it's not because one's better at killing people. It's really just the tempo. Guardians doesn't really have tempo. And so X-Force making the point that we're going to fight to the death right fucking now is just such a important aspect to fighting those go-wide scenario teams.
Yeah.
Because you need to take the fight to them so early to really make them kind of make a mistake, because you're putting so much pressure on them that they can't play safe anymore. So anytime you have to play aggressively against a team, you're more open to vulnerability. And I really like that sitting on the other side of the table. When I play webs and my opponent plays X-Force, I'm like, it's kind of like playing at CGR. It's like, I know what's going to happen, but I have to put my people in danger to make the plays I need to make. And mm-hmm. so that doesn't feel good. And so I know putting your opponent in a spot where they kind of squirm a bit is really nice.
Well, it's not just squirm. It's just how they lose, right? Taking attacks. Yeah. Taking attacks too often is how they lose.
But if to me, it's more about, can I put them in enough pressure to where they start looking at the decision differently? Because if a smart player can look at the math and go, like, this is the correct play. But when you just skew the math a little bit, it's like, okay, well, now he's putting attacks on that model right now. It's like, well, can I afford to make that risk? Even though the math is basically the same, putting pressure on the situation by making it more urgent commonly will cause people to make more mistakes than they would have otherwise. And so I like that aspect, as well as giving you the opportunity by accelerating the game.
I'm going to put up a third. You said you think you would go Guardians or X-Force and pick X-Force. Mm-hmm. I think that I would do Guardians or Spider Foes, because mm-hmm. I think Spider Foes actually have... You need somebody who really knows how to pilot them. I think they're a high skill cap list. But I think Spider Foes is one of those lists that when you put it down, I don't know how many people know what they're in for. If you know how
to, it's about to be a lot more, because they're going to be fucking everywhere next week.
Yeah, probably. But I have a feeling that Spider Foes could have a game into anything. They're becoming more balanced all the time. But I don't think people. I think they're very nuanced. Their learning curve is super steep. And so they're kind of like Convocation. I think everybody like tries them once and goes, nah, I didn't like it. Like, it doesn't.
They definitely are a higher skill cap, because there's not a lot of, I don't know, margin for error with when you're playing mm-hmm. a bunch of four pointers. Mm-hmm. And so they're slow on top of it. And so you really can't make a lot of mistakes with that list. But also they have a lot of like intricate rules on top of it. So there's a lot of thinking and pre-planning you have to make.
There's a lot of looking at the board and going, okay, well, that model has 5 health. And since that model has 5 health, I'll put these two models and my token out here. So that model might actually just drop because of all of my Counter-Strike effects. You're like, fuck, like, who's thinking of that kind of thing when they set up a list at MCP? Like, no one else thinks like that. No other list, like, is wondering, how can I kill a model during their turn with Counter-Strike and effects? Like, that's not something anybody wonders about. But Spider Foes does. And I don't think anyone who... you know, somebody would have to spend a lot of time playing them to be able to look at the board state and go, you know, I can set up a situation where his miles has to come at my models and they'll die on his turn, kind of thing.
Aaron, what would you take as your 3 affiliations?
You start with webs.
Yeah.
I think Wakanda is a great second. And then third, probably go Guardians.
Guardians over X-Force? So I have 2 questions for you. Did you only say not X-Force because you know that was the exact team we're playing? And second, why was that?
No.
Damn it.
And because that's the exact 3 that we're playing.
You liar. I see right here you guys are playing Convocation, Sentinels, and Unaffiliated. So that's okay. Clearly false.
Clearly.
It is funny how we came up with very similar teams. It's almost like we have similar opinions because we talk. Cool. All right. Well, hopefully Squad Goals be a good time. I'm sure it will be. But it's going to be simultaneously nice to have a vacation and also terrible because of all the stuff I'll have to do when I get home. I'm trying to decide what I'm going to play after Squad Goals. It's kind of 50-50 with... Spider Foes and Convocation.
So I really want to get I have heard of no one playing Killmonger 2 as a leader.
Oh, for Wakanda?
Yeah. Parker, have you played Killmonger 2 as a leader?
Yeah, I did exclusively for all of the tournament prep for, not this tournament, not this local tournament we just did, but the previous month, yeah.
The one I missed.
And then I played at the tournament.
How was it?
I think Killmonger 2, now, everybody can argue with me. Everybody being not you guys, I don't think you'll argue with me, but I think Killmonger 2 is by far the best leader in Wakanda.
Oh shit.
I think it's by far.
Oh my God. So when you say argue with you, I think you're entering the realm of just get screamed at.
Oh my God.
Oh, did I say leader? I meant leadership. He's the best leadership. I don't think he's the best model. He's not nearly the best.
That's kind of what I thought you meant. And, I have not changed my opinion.
Oh, his leadership is incredibly strong.
I think you mispronounced the word worst. I know, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was going to say that, no.
So am I just misremembering what he does? Let me read it again. So
it's mini Star-Lord.
Yeah, so you get, but it's just add a die, right?
It's not reroll, it's add a die. That's why it's mini Star-Lord.
And if you don't spend it, you take a damage, gain of power. I remember that. Okay, so this is what I thought it was.
So I don't want you to tell me any of the models you played with them.
Okay.
Because I really want to kind of explore that space in my mind, and then I will absolutely compare notes after a game or two.
Okay.
But
I guess how do you think that's better than M'Baku?
So there's two reasons why. I'm going to try not to tell you about all the things I played with them. But the main reason why is Spirit Wakanda leaves one of your Wakandans on zero power. And so this lets that Wakanda have one power at the end of their turn, because that Wakandan does not do an attack that turn. And so basically you take a damage for playing Spirit Wakanda instead of losing your power. So whatever Wakanda model that you don't want to lose tempo on the first turn by playing Spirit doesn't actually lose tempo, which is a big, big deal for two Wakandans, I think. So that's the first thing, is automatically Killmonger Usurper's leadership is just better for Spirit of Wakanda. And since it's the best card, one of the best cards in the game, one of the reasons to play Wakanda, that makes this leadership the best leadership. Reason number one. A lot of people overlook the suffering one damage, getting one power, but it's huge for specifically Wakanda, because one of their characters will go to zero on first turn, and two of their characters need to have one power at the end of first turn that want to play Spirit. The other reason is getting one dice to your attack roll, in my opinion, is better than the reroll effects in the game. Because specifically, there are lots of characters, both in Wakanda and outside of Wakanda, that let you reroll that dice and make sure that that dice does more damage. I played, the tactics card, Reserve Members in Steve on models, and people were constantly like, man, Reserve Members is really good, because I was always slapping it on models that let me reroll that dice three times. And as it turns out, giving models that have rerolls six base attack dice on their builders is fucking nuts. So there are some models in this game that are designed around only rolling four attack dice and rerolling all, or five attack dice and rerolling all, or six attack dice rerolling two. And as it turns out, if you give those models seven attack dice and let them do that, it is dumb on builders specifically. So basically you're turning that one power, that one dice, you're not just giving it to a character saying, roll one more dice, which is not good odds. You're saying, roll two more dice on a lot of the characters in the game that you specifically target.
Get it.
People think a hammer is good. People think Thanos giving you two dice is good. All that sounds great, but all those things cost resources and put your models at risk. You just take this leader, and he gives you a similar buff. So all the models in the game that you know love have one more dice, just get huge amounts of mileage out of this. If you take this with three random Wakandans, it will feel bad. You'll be like, yeah, this doesn't really work. You're like, yeah, it doesn't. But if you take this with specifically some of the models in the game that lets you reroll those dice and shouldn't have six die base attacks, and all of a sudden they do, it feels amazing.
Okay. I look forward to exploring some of that. As one of my... I've got a bunch of stuff I want to explore. That's one of them, though. After Squuggles. I still want to play some Leapfrog. A Better Tomorrow, and The Professionals.
I can tell you this, though, Aaron. As much as I loved him and I enjoyed like the concept of the Wakanda list, I'll be curious to know what you think about it overall. Because okay. I came to some conclusions. I don't know if I've ever shared them even on this cast. But I was talking to Ryan about them specifically because he's a Wakanda player. And we were just talking about like how Wakanda works and how Wakanda feels. And I was sharing that I had an interesting experience with it. It was a totally different affiliation. I never really had another experience with like I had that with that one. So we can compare notes on a cast one day once you get to play a little bit.
Cool. Parker, do you have a comic corner for us?
Oh, do I? Yay, comic corner. So I've had this comic corner in my back pocket for a while, ever since Adepticon, because one of my favorite characters of all time was announced into the game Adepticon, and that is Elsa Bloodstone. I love Elsa Bloodstone, and I know a lot of folks, when they saw her and they heard people like me talking about how much they love her, they go, how, why, do you, you know, what is this really obscure character? If you watch the Halloween special on Disney Plus, you may have been introduced to her, but why do people love her so much? Because we really didn't get to know her very well from that show. And you could go back to some of her, original portrayals and some of the things, ways she started off, but I think one of the most compelling stories Marvel has ever written was written by Simon Spurrier, who has done a lot of stuff in the Marvel Star Wars stuff. He wrote a lot of Dr. Aphra, if you liked any of those. But in Marvel, he wrote this very interesting miniseries that took place during the Battle World segment, the timeline. So, long story short, Dr. Doom took a bunch of universes in the Marvel Comics pantheon and kind of smooshed them all together. And one of the things that happened is the Marvel Zombies, subgenre was kind of thrown onto Battle World. And it's basically this region of the planet Doom made that's overwhelmed by Marvel Comics characters as zombies. And it's watched over by these people on this giant wall that keep the zombies from overwhelming the rest of Battle World. And one of their sub-commanders is Elsa Bloodstone. And in this comic series called Marvel Zombies Battle World, which is the, if you want to find it, a graphic novel or search for it on your subscription, she has to go into the Marvel Zombies, read the dead world, the Deadlands, where all the zombies are, and rescue this girl, because for some reason they keep seeing this human girl, which is, you're not supposed to see like regular girls out there. And so she's determined to figure this out based on her own past, and you get to find a little bit more about Elsa and her relationship with her father, and how she feels about the way she was treated, and how she was brought up to be a monster hunter. And then of course you have just her personality just oozes all over it, and the story itself is very provocative, very fun. It's a really, if you like the Marvel Zombies comics ever, those are fine, and this is a cool take on that, but really it just features Elsa Bloodstone in her full glory. How does she, deal with this terrible job she has, which is, constantly dealing with monsters all the time, and the constant trauma of this, and she's rescuing this little girl who's surrounded by all this trauma. She sees herself in her, and now she has to rescue her. But what is this little girl, and how is she alive in this place? Really cool story. I recommend it to anyone who just likes good stories. Battle World Marvel Zombies, featuring Elsa Bloodstone as a central character. Super cool.
Cool. Did you like Werewolf by Night?
Yeah, I liked it actually okay. I felt like they did not do my Elsa Bloodstone. Like, mm-hmm. they did like somebody's... to be fair...
They just used her as a placeholder.
Yeah, honestly, they couldn't make her actually. Yeah, they just used her name, really, is all they used. Mm-hmm. Because her actual character is... One of the things about her is that she's just filthy. Like, everything mm-hmm. about her... Like, everything that comes out of her mouth is crass. She's a very crass persona. Really loud. And so... Yeah. Marvel characters generally don't like it when she's around because, language. And so putting her in Disney Plus in that really abrasive, crass personality
I believe they re-released that special in color, which I found odd.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the whole point, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. It was, that was 100%, I think it was 100% just like, we need to release something, this.
Yeah.
This costs nothing.
Cool. All right, well, that's going to wrap it for us today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. This has been Brandon.
And Parker.
And Aaron.
And you've just listened to The Gang Gets Some Goals.
So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible, new, fantastic, astonishing, mighty, original, uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down Infamous.
We did it.
We so did it.
We so did it. I just want to point out that I completely obliterated the Mojo World last week. Massive landslide.
Yep. I did not think I was going to win anybody's hearts, but I didn't care. I spoke with mine.
That's fair.
That's what matters.
I don't even want to talk about Mojo World last week.
I do.
Made me so mad as I was driving listening to it.
People keep putting in a fourth option. I don't know what that's about, but people keep adding a number four and voting for it.
Yeah. So you guys are fucking crazy and stupid.
Oh, I got 19 votes. That's pretty high.
Let's not be too hasty. You guys sounds plural. There was only one person that had to have
Parker's over here saying way. Smoothie King and shit. That famous drive-thru restaurant Smoothie King.
You did not say famous. You said drive-thru, and specifically, that was the rule.
Uh-huh. The thing I didn't understand is everybody kept saying, it's like, drive-thru doesn't mean fast food. It's like, yeah, I know. That's why we said drive-thru, not fast food. Because I know if we said fast food, we would argue about everything for, like, 20 minutes. Honestly, I think I won just solely based on Taco Bell. Like, Taco Bell basically was going to win regardless who got it.
Like I said, I deserve to lose, but I wasn't picking anything else. Those are the drive-thru restaurants I will go to.
You like Taco Bell, though.
I've gone to Taco Bell. But Taco Bell is like my... I'm not in town, so I don't have anything, like, friendly to go to. So Taco Bell.
You have anything on the green list?
Yeah.
So when I said I didn't want to talk about last week's Mojo World, did that mean let's rehash it? Because that wasn't my intent.
Well, Aaron, you can abstain all you want.
I have a very interesting anecdote for you. It's brought to us today by Keith Richards, and it is in fact that you don't always get what you want. Aaron's not happy. In a funny turn of events, one of my employees, Simon, does not. He's a younger fellow. And so he doesn't watch a lot of older 80s movies, has never seen Demolition Man. And so I had to explain Demolition Man to him. It was really odd. Trying to explain the premise of Demolition Man to somebody in this like audio setting is really weird. Parker, are you still trying to pick your mojo?
No, I found a fifth. And I think I too will have one that you have not seen.
Probably. I haven't watched all of them.
There's one on my list I guarantee Brandon hasn't seen.
Ooh, I believe you, because there's several I refuse to watch. I've been fighting with a website for the last 2 days. It's been very annoying. There's a content website where people basically like sell like digital files, so I'm trying to get... I bought a huge pack of STL files from an artist, and you have to go onto the website and then buy them one at a time with a free discount code that makes them free because I've already paid for them. But it's like 300 files, and so I have to go in each time, but it keeps, like, the website keeps freaking out airing and won't let me buy the stuff, so it's been very annoying. It just surprises me at where at this point in, like, the internet and people still have websites that just don't work sometimes. It's really frustrating.
That, like, websites don't work?
That, yeah, like, you could have a website that it has, like, thousands of users daily and, like, just doesn't work sometimes and we don't know why. And they're not fixing it. It's just like, yep, that's just a problem with the website. You just, sometimes you'll get this error and you'll have to wait 3 days for it to go away. And I'm like, what? Like, that's not real, right? And they're like, no, yeah, you're just going to have to wait. I'm like, fucking Christ.
There's a lot of things about, like, law enforcement like that, right? Where they're just like, we need to investigate some sort of crime. We're like, was it done on the internet? Well, fuck. Like, because they have no knowledge of it, right? They don't have anybody who knows anything about it. They just kind of hope that it's not done on the internet, because if it has anything to do with the internet, they have so few people trained in how it works. I think a lot of those, whenever you encounter a website like that and people are going, yeah, it's just broken, I think you're talking to people of,
it's like Jeremy.
Previous generations. Yeah, I think it's just, yeah. I think it's people who go, yeah, but you don't need the internet to do your job. And you go, no, I do, or else this doesn't work. You put up the internet so that, you know, you can provide a service. And they go, yeah, but you don't need to. You could drive all the way to Indianapolis to get the thing like we used to. You're like, yeah, but that's not that's not the business you set up. But I think people still think that way. And so they don't see the internet as a priority. It's weird. I don't understand it, because as soon as you embrace it, then everything about your life becomes easier. I don't understand why anybody doesn't, but.
Well, I mean, it's the people that haven't been, like, drugged through it yet, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because, like you said, the people that do just suffer through it briefly to learn enough to start doing things, realize how useful it is. And then the people that don't, just flatly refuse, are the people that don't. Because they've never experienced the plus side.
And I get it. Nobody changes unless miserable, right? So they're not miserable that you can't get their thing. I guess if they were, then they would innovate. So I suppose that's it. Eventually, maybe there will be enough misery around it that people will have to make sure their stuff works. But
I think at this point, you can't have a zero internet like experience. Short of just never leaving your house.
Yeah.
Like, everything nowadays is in some way integrated to the internet.
Yeah, in some ways. But, like, websites are still one of those things that you can go a long time and not know how to use or what to do. Like, a lot of people just operate everything through their phones. And yeah, yes, like they might be using a browser, but...
We had a huge power outage a year or two ago. And it was just weird when you just, like... Your area doesn't have power for, like, I don't know, 3 days. Like, everything within miles of you doesn't have power. It's like, well, now there is no internet. There is no electricity. Like, there's no, like, there's barely phones because nobody has a landline anymore. So it's just like, well, what do you do? Like, you can't go to the gas station because their power's out. You can't like run your car nonstop for 3 days because you don't have gas. Like, it's like, what do you do now? You just kind of sit in your house in the dark. And you're just like, huh, like, I guess we just don't do anything for the next 3 days. We just sit around. Like, it's so alien. Like, I remember there were times as a kid like that, because you know, you're a young kid. You don't have, like, resources to do anything. So you're just kind of sitting around waiting for, like, parents to come home. But, like, kids nowadays have those, like, internet toys and stuff. Like, they've got computers, gaming consoles and everything. It's like, I remember a time when we didn't have any of that stuff. It was just like, what now? It's like, well, we sit around. Because we don't have cable, so we just kind of sit here like shit.
I was telling my students that the worst teacher I ever had was, and they said, oh, was she really hard? Or was the class really difficult? Or, you know, did she make you do a lot of stuff? I goes, no, it was the opposite. She didn't make us do anything. Like, every day she just has, like, read page 186 to 192, do, you know, problems 1 through 10. And that was all the instruction she ever gave us that was written on the whiteboard, in the corner of the whiteboard. And that's it. You sat down, you read the 6 pages, you did the 10 questions, and the bell rang. Like, that was it. And they said, man, you must have just been on your phone all the time. I go, what are you guys talking about? Nobody had phones. We did the assignment, and then we just stared. And maybe we talked, but she didn't give a shit what we did. So we just kind of did nothing for, you know, half an hour. Nothing at all. There was nothing.
You do enough of that, and you're never held accountable for it, then you just stop doing the work.
Well,
I know that's probably not you, but that's a lot of the students.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure a lot of people just checked out. I mean, I never learned a thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't remember. I can't remember anything she taught me other than what not to do as an educator.
Yeah. I remember the first time I was in a class with somebody who read the textbook ahead of time. And they were like, well, I've already read this. And then, like, all the teachers having you do is read it in class. And like, no, I've already read it, though. I was like, well, just sit there then.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah. I've never once used a textbook.
You mean in your classes or, like, as a student?
As a teacher.
Yeah.
I think as a student, maybe, yeah. I mean, I had to in class, like the one I just described, right? Like, that was, yeah. It was a textbook. But as a teacher, I've never used it. In teacher education, we learned a ton about, like, where they come from, both culturally and how almost all of them, well, all of them are, in America anyway, are written for exactly Texas and Californians because they're the biggest buyers, right? And so the only testing and culture research, market research they do is in Texas and California. And so that's why why does everyone in America learn about the Alamo? Like, why the shit would that matter? It's because so many textbooks are bought in Texas that they put that stuff in there so they can market them. Why do we learn about the 49ers and the gold rush? Like, what a weird small footnote in American history compared to some of the other stuff that we could be learning about, right? Well, it's because the populations in California and Texas like to see that as part of their history.
They have voting power, yeah.
Yeah. So, when I learned about that kind of stuff in Lexile scores, like the average freshman biology textbook is written at a grade level that like a 20-year-old could struggle with. Like they're not written for children at all. They're written terribly. And so, like, I basically, as soon as I learned all this stuff, I was like, why would anybody ever use a textbook to teach children? There have been advancements made. There are better versions of textbooks now. But guess what? All the better ones now are all electronic, right? They're all digital. Mm-hmm. And digital textbooks have all these really cool resources that are hyper-interactive for kids. So they're never just, you know, opening the page and reading something that a 21-year-old in Texas would appreciate. Now they're instantly getting links to greater resources and stuff. Those kind of texts are awesome. And I have used one of those, but never a book.
Parker, I just want you to know that I've gotten more feedback about Drunk Brandon.
Oh, yeah?
Still unanimously positive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One person said we need an indicator for the White Russians involved.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me at all. People love a train wreck, right? Like,
wow.
Well, it's, you know, I'm being facetious. What I mean is, like, people appreciate things going off the rails a little bit, right? And that was, you were definitely off the rails a little bit. So they appreciate that. Just a little
bit. I could see the tracks.
Yeah. Aaron, you got oddly quiet, and we definitely stopped talking about Mojo World. Do we need to start talking about
Mojo World? He cannot be pleased. He's just going to be upset. That's how it goes.
I'm not upset.
Bored. Did you? You were here for Drunk Brandon. Did you enjoy it, Aaron? You were live.
He loved
for it.
He was one of the people who gave me positive feedback.
That is a lie. So I did not mind casting with Drunk Brandon. As a general rule, I loathe and detest drunk people and avoid them like the plague. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to take advantage of drunk people. Like, if we were out walking and you just got blitzed at a bar, I would watch you walk in front of a car and get hit before I would reach out and stop you.
I feel like that's the opposite of what you just said, but I'm all for that. Yeah, no, I mean, if you willingly get drunk, like, obviously, like, you're an adult, obviously, we're not talking about, like, people that are not responsible for themselves, but yeah. If you get drunk, I think you pretty much just deserve what happens. I definitely hate having to watch after people that are not responsible at all.
Yes. Now, if it was organized ahead of time, like, I'm going to get blitzed, I need a wingman. Like, I would consider doing that, right? But when it becomes an expectation you levy upon your friends, I can't stand it.
So you're saying I'm the exception to this because you said you had a good time.
That is, again, not what I just said.
But it's not what you said. I'll take his silence as assent. You excited for this weekend?
No.
No? Yeah, me neither. I guess we'll hopefully have a good time. I mean, I can't imagine we're going to have a bad time. But
I am going to have a great time rolling dice with hopefully some cool people, enjoying a trip and stay with some cool people. So, yes, I take it back. I am looking for this weekend, or looking forward to this weekend, rather. I think it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to the community and the fun that will be had more than I am looking forward to the actual games of Marvel. But the games, I'm sure, will also be enjoyable themselves.
I'm thinking more of just a amount of shit I'm working on at the moment. Like, I actually am starting to make headway on, like, projects, and so, like, I kind of want to just get stuff knocked out. And so taking the whole weekend off, I just know I'm going to be, again, super busy as soon as I get back, trying to catch up on everything I missed.
That's true.
This isn't cast-centric, but how many beds do we have at the hotel? Do I need to bring an air mattress? I think somebody said no.
It was me. I said no.
Okay.
There are 5 beds. Okay. There are 5 of us.
I'm going to be sad if I ended up needing a bed.
You mean an air mattress?
Yeah.
I'll also be sad and upset. More upset than sad. It's a sofa bed, if you're okay with that. But
yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll probably just sleep on the sofa as opposed to pulling it out and making a bed out of it.
Sure. We've got 4 queens and a sofa bed.
Cool. I need to use the restroom real quick. I will be right back.
Aaron, I want you to know I really appreciated your advice about travel games for my family.
Mm-hmm. Did you take this trip and... or take those games?
We haven't taken the trip yet, but I wanted to. It was stuff for, I think I just explained, it was for Mother's Day. Because my wife loves, you know, tabletop games as a family, and mm-hmm. Zooloretto has been our first, like, big hit. We play Zooloretto probably, the girls play it probably once a week, and Sarah and I play it with them probably twice a month or so. Like, we play it a bunch. And we have a really good time. Cecilia has a really long note in Sarah's phone of wins, losses, and points. And I thought you would really appreciate that, because it's basically just one of your spreadsheets.
I absolutely do appreciate that.
Yes. I think it's perfect that she is you would like Cecilia a lot. She is our sort.
Wait until she starts organizing it by which animals she chose to take.
Right. And I'm sure that was going to happen eventually. She has noticed trends and things. It's really fun. But, and she's memorized all the rules, and it's great. So your suggestions, we went to Tabletop, the Game and Hobby, and we found them both. And I was like, all right, guys, what do you think of these? And they took a look at them, and they were like, because, as you know, they're some fairly classic games. Even Zooloretto doesn't look like a super awesome game on the cover. It wasn't marketed like that. And so the games you suggested, you know, one of them was about beans, and the other one was about it just looked like some Dutch characters, and they could not give shits. Like, there was nothing exciting about the covers, right? And I was trying to explain to them. I was like, my friend Aaron, you know, the only one who gave us Zooloretto. He said these are really good games. They go, yeah, we do like Zooloretto, but this game has pandas on the box. And you're like, all right, so we'll get the ones with pandas on the box. So they did not go with your suggestions. I let them choose because it was Mother's Day, and I want them to have some, you know, authority over what they're getting their mom. But so they ended up not going with those two games. One of the games they chose, they really, really like, and we're keeping it. But the other, the panda one specifically, is terrible. Just, it, not only is it probably not a fun game if we could play it, but it's unplayable. I've never bought a game before, and I guess I just haven't bought enough tabletop games to know this. I've never bought a game before that you literally can't follow the directions. Like, the directions are not for the game. I think I need to look at all the game pieces and make up all my own rules. And just make up, because the directions don't work at all. Like, it is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I've never seen a game that I read the directions. I was like, that's not what this game is. Like, this doesn't make any sense. So,
well, next time you'll know. Don't disregard my suggestions.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I said. As soon as they were like, it doesn't work, and I was like, should have gone with what Aaron said. And they're like, they didn't want to hear that. That's the dad answer. Yeah. So, I've already told them that we're going back to tabletop at some point before we get this camper, because that's what we're gonna put them in the camper. And so we're going back to tabletop, and you guys will choose one of Aaron's suggestions, and we're gonna take that because he said they're good. And I think we should trust him now. Did we learn the lesson, girls? And they're like, yeah. And then Regina pointed out, well, we like the cat one. I was like, yeah, I know you guys like the cat one. It's kind of an elementary school, like, slap game, kind of a one of those, flip over the card, make a noise, that kind of thing. But
so Dutch Blitz is all about, it's a slap game. It's a speed and eye coordination. It's one of those types of games.
Yeah, whereas, I couldn't tell at all from the outside what it was. So
yeah, Bonanza is a trading game. You're trying to trade your bad beans out of your hand, and so it's interesting. With family dynamics, either you help each other or you just screw each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm going to, hearing that, and I'm glad you said something, I'm definitely going to go with Bonanza. I'm just going to do it for him and not even let him choose, because my youngest, as we want her to be able to win sometimes, she's just, she's just young enough where she can play the rules and she can get it. But my oldest can't, like, live in a world where she doesn't go for the jugular. Like, she has to, she has to go as fast as she can. And so the slapping games, the quick games, Regina just has to lose them all. That's why we like Zuloretto, because, we can kind of work together and let Regina stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to look at Bonanza. I'm just going to pick it up and not ask him. So we have.
You going to play some Bonanza? Game.
Yeah.
I like Bonanza.
I asked Aaron about good,
family games
that, younger kids could participate in. That were small. We needed something that was small. Because I know tons of them that are like 12 and up, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, Bonanza's nice because it's just card based, obviously, but mm-hmm. you it's trading oriented, so you can just be really generous with your trades if you're trying to help somebody out. Mm-hmm.
Or not. You can look at your wife opposite. And be like, no, you plant that blue bean. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I was telling Aaron that my girls wouldn't go for it because it didn't look as cute as the box next to it, which had pandas on it.
Yeah, the art is not great, but is actually a really solid game. And once you start playing it, the art doesn't matter, right? The box is ugly. The cards look fine.
I did pick up this because I played it at your house. I don't think you even played it with me, but I picked up Love Letter.
Yeah. Everyone loves Love Letter.
Because it was the worst named game.
Yeah. They make Batman Love Letter. Like, they make every kind of love letter you can imagine.
Yeah, they make Star Wars. They make Batman. Yeah, they made a whole bunch of ones. But I kind of like the classic. I like the sound of the classic. But as soon as I picked it up, Cecilia was like, what? Like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. I was like, because it's so much fun. And you'll like it one day. I don't think. Maybe she could play it now. But yeah, she could probably handle it. My youngest definitely could not. She'd be lost the whole time. But eventually.
All right. You guys ready to get started?
Oh, yeah.
Have we figured out who's writing with who yet?
You're with Jeremy.
Shit. Just me and Jeremy?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy. So it's you, Quentin, and Ryan?
That can all change. Doesn't have to stay the same.
Nice. No, that's fine. I mean, Kenny can ride with us.
Hells to the yeah.
I plan on very much enjoying my smoke-free car, personally. Fuck you, Ryan. He quit smoking 2 weeks ago, yet still smells like cigarettes. I don't understand.
That's so weird.
Does anybody want to explain what's going on? I think I know. Oh, boy. All right, you guys ready for this? We're gonna do some mojos.
Oh, yeah.
All right, this week on Mojo World Ratings, we have Disney Plus original TV shows. These have to be shows that were developed by Disney Plus specifically, not things that were simply viewable on Disney Plus. As an example, you cannot choose the original X-Men cartoon because it is not a Disney Plus original. So starting this week, we've got Aaron. Aaron, have you picked your first choice?
I have indeed picked my first choice.
Nice.
It will be Andor.
Strong.
I was holding my breath that entire time. I was like, I'm not gonna lie. When you announced this, I went, "Well, I'm putting this down on a piece of paper. If anybody takes it, I'm just going to turn off. I'm just gonna leave the call." This because I don't care. I have
to. You've checked out.
Well, I know what Parker's picking. I do have to say, I consider myself a Star Wars fan for a long time, and then I was told by Star Wars fans that I'm not a Star Wars fan because I'm not allowed to be because I'm not fan enough. And that did not sit well with me. And so I very much don't like most things Star Wars at the same level of people that call themselves Star Wars fans, mostly because I don't just scream it from mountaintops that it's my favorite thing ever in the universe. But I think Andor is the single best piece of Star Wars media in existence. It is the only thing that's ever made me feel like I was in the Star Wars universe. It's very well done. All right, Parker, your first pick.
It is The Mandalorian.
Wow, you can't see at home. This is my surprise face.
Yeah. And I will continue making more of my list later, but that is the, that is the thing that had to go on there.
Yeah, Mandalorian is the best show on Disney Plus.
As a non-fanaticized Star Wars fan, I do not enjoy The Mandalorian.
Really? I find that surprising. But I understand. It's definitely not for everybody.
I could give two shits about this random little green guy that is just like a fucking plush toy. And
yeah, I don't care about Grogu at all.
But like, even the whole...
completely indifferent, yeah.
This is the way... whatever. Like, there's like no fucking plot to any of it.
It is a little campy at points. It's still good content.
I love Westerns. Like, I love all Westerns. And it is absolutely a Western with Star Wars shit all over it. If they would have made this exact show and taken all the Star Wars stuff off, I would have still watched it and enjoyed it.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, this is just an interesting like Western drama skinned in Star Wars. It has almost nothing to do with Star Wars at all. They more recently, obviously in the later seasons, they started hitting the plot points a lot harder. But the first season almost had nothing at all to do with Star Wars, other than there were some bad guys in it. Yeah. Anyway. So my next pick, I get two here. I am confident. Okay, so I'm gonna go with this one. I'm probably gonna get some heat for this. So I'm definitely choosing Loki. I don't even think that's in question. That's definitely the next best. Loki is great. Both seasons were just, you know, solid. I think next, though, I'm gonna go with Hawkeye. I just rewatched Hawkeye. And it's just a fun show. It's got like a perfect mix of comedy and action and story. And it's just like, I just want to watch it. All the characters are super charismatic. I just enjoy it. It's fun.
I will say this. If anyone ever liked that show, you will also love the Hawkeye comic. Because they capture that kind exactly what you're talking about. This really nice blend of to like serious stakes. Also, he's very human. Like, one of the big themes is that he's just some guy. Like, all the stuff that all these other superheroes just shrug off because they're radiactive powered.
He's like, my knees, my back, my ears.
Like, this all sucks so much.
I need ice packs.
Like, all of that stuff.
But at the same time, he's clearly, like, superhuman in his skill level, right? Uh-huh. Like, right. He does things that are nearly unbelievable. But at the same time, it's a great, like you're saying, barometer of showing that's how far away from these literal superheroes this guy is. Mm-hmm. Like, that it gives you a way to look at it where, like, I feel like DC's been missing this aspect the entirety of their existence. Like, Batman was always supposed to be that in the Justice League, but he fails at being that. He never feel like Batman's just some dude. Anyway.
Okay, Parker, don't fuck me with this next pick. I only have two left.
You're getting fucked hard. All right, Parker.
I just do one, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you got one.
So I don't think I can fuck you with this. I'm going to go with Star Wars Visions.
I haven't seen that yet.
This is my one that I didn't think you guys had seen. So I purposely stayed away from the ones I thought you had seen because Aaron just told me to not take a shit. But Star Wars Visions is a collection of shorts, all based on Star Wars. But again, some of my favorite stuff that's ever been made in Star Wars has nothing to do with Star Wars, really, and everything to do with just good people telling stories, and they just happen to put it in this universe.
Yeah. The thing I hate most about Star Wars is they just keep regurgitating stories about the same five people. It's like, dude, there's a fucking universe here. Pick somebody else. And they're like, no. I'm like, all right, fine. All right, Aaron. Did you secure your two last picks?
I do have two last picks.
Nice. All right, what you got for us?
The first one is WandaVision.
Nice.
WandaVision. I actually rate WandaVision above Loki. I thought WandaVision was fucking amazing. Just how it built on each episode. And I don't know, like, we were generally like enthralled watching as it came out. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I don't know. It was gripping TV. And it's been a long time since I've watched anything close to gripping TV.
Yeah, I want to say that I think WandaVision first watch is probably slightly more gripping than Loki, but I think WandaVision, a lot of the show is based around the mystique and intrigue of what you don't know is happening. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you finally, like, you pierce the veil and you know what's on the other side, I feel like the rewatchability of WandaVision is much, much lower than Loki. And that's the only reason I put it above it. But they're both very good.
Okay, I can get behind that. And last on my list is going to be She-Hulk. I realize that would be controversial because some people fucking hate it, but I loved the fourth wall piercing of the entire thing. I think
I didn't get that. I didn't get the hate either. Like, I really didn't understand. I mean, I get that there was like CGI issues because their studio was massively overworked and they just couldn't keep up with the animation schedule. And so there's a lot of like poor animation segments and people lose their minds. You're like, well, Disney has infinite money. It's like, well, there's not infinite graphic designers. Like, you can only post so many job openings and have them be empty before you run out of stuff. Like, this is actually something that happened in anime recently. One of the largest, like, most famous anime studios. There are people working 16-hour days for 9 months. And they're just like, we can't do this anymore. Like, we need a break. But the episodes come out on Friday. So it's like, they just started phoning everything in. And you're like, oh, no, what are we going to do? Like, this is so much worse than what we were getting. Like, and I can show you clips. It's like the side-by-side is insane different. Mm-hmm. And so I think people just need to calm down and realize that the content we're getting nowadays is just non-sustainable most of the time. But yeah, as far as like the hate of the show, I just didn't get it. I really liked She-Hulk.
Okay. I don't know what fucking universe we're in where you and I agree so much. But okay, over to you, Parker.
I have two, but I'm going to go with the one you know what? I'm going to go with the Marvel one that I really enjoyed. What If? I like the What If series.
That was on my list. Yeah, What If is great. A lot of people, I've been hearing hate for season two. I think I just finished season two. It was good. I liked it. It wasn't as good as season one, probably, but it was still good. Yeah, I guess we'll leave it alone. It does have a lot of my favorite character in it, so we'll keep going.
I think the trick is the first season did a really great job of masterfully taking the B plot and making it an A plot at the end. Like, that was really cool. And the second season didn't do that as well.
Second season was definitely more one note.
But I really like some of the episodes of the second season. And I'm not saying that overall the show must be bad, because the second season was weaker. That's not true.
Yeah. Okay. The moment everyone's been waiting for. X-Men 97. I think this is fair. I don't think it's better than Hawkeye for me. they're like right next to each other, and I also haven't seen the season finale yet, so I imagine that would probably have put it over the top.
I've heard that, I don't know if it's the season finale, but I've heard that
like the most recent episode.
Yeah, I think Disney Plus has just like submitted one of the 97 episodes for an Emmy. Like I don't know. I just heard that.
It's been freaking great. The ability, they really just perfectly captured the feel of the original show and got rid of all of the issues with it somehow. Like they, and I, when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh no, they ruined Wolverine's voice. I think it's just literally that scene. I don't know why they picked that to put in the trailer, but that's the only time it's taken me out of the show, is in that exact scene when they're on the Blackbird. I'm like, oh wow, that sounded really weird. But it was like, it just felt forced. But the rest of the time, it's like, he sounds fine. But yeah, the characters are perfect. The costumes are a little questionable sometimes. But it's been very fun. I've liked it a lot.
I just finished Fallout, so that's next on my list.
Fallout was really good.
I re-downloaded Fallout 4.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mess around with it, even though
I've... Did I tell you what I did? I've never played any of the Fallout games, but I own Fallout New Vegas from a Humble Bundle. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to install it. And I was like, because all my friends used to play it. And I'm like, you know what? I really like the campiness of like the vault stuff. And so I was like, I'm just going to download it. I'm going to play through the vault stuff. And as soon as I get out into the world, I'm just going to uninstall the game. And so I installed New Vegas. There's no vault stuff in New Vegas. No. I was so sad. I was so disappointed. This is some fucking weird ass doctor. I'm like, what the fuck do you want? Like, where's the vault? Anyway, I guess I'll eventually give it a try, but I wish I had 6 hours a day to spend on a fucking computer game. All right. I think this was fun. I think we all picked stuff that we all like, except for the stuff we hadn't seen. You guys, anything else you want to chat about? You want to call it early?
I'm ready to call it early. I'm solo with the girls all week, so I got to get up early and do it all myself. Do it all nice. Again.
I really, really want to get some practice games in tomorrow with my X-Force, because I think I've only played 2 games of X-Force ever. But I really don't see it happening. We'll see. What do you think, Aaron? Should I play more than 2 games with a faction before I take it to a tournament?
Nope.
All right, see, there you go. I don't even need to. I do need to remember to bring my fucking models.
Let's be really frank here. Every time you've ever gone to a tournament cold, you've done very well.
That's fair. Yeah.
I remember in World Machine, that was like your thing. You would be like, mm-hmm. I think this is a cool concept and an affiliation I've never tried.
I did really like putting lists together the night before.
You did that.
That was really fun.
You did that, I wouldn't say all the time, because you absolutely prepared a lot for some things. But you did very, very well in a lot of times when you didn't prepare at all. So,
well, it was just different for War Machine because it was a 2-list format. So you would basically bring 2 complete separate rosters that were just like the same faction. And so you would almost always have your go-to, right? But then you're usually your off list with some kind of weird jank skew list that you would normally not play. And so that was where I lived. I loved that weird jank list that you would always jam in there. And people look at you and go like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I don't know. And you just run at them. They didn't know what to do. That was fun. Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Goodbye.
Later.